Hello, everyone. It is Carmela, and we are getting ready to kick off our discovery meeting call. I know some of you are still at work and couldn't join us today, but I'm going to go through this call with you, and then I will also post my form in the Inner Circle Network page so that you can actually see what it is that we're going through. Okay, so since we're recording, we're going to keep moving. Okay, so at the top of my questionnaire, let me just start at the beginning. Why do you even need a discovery meeting? The reason you need a discovery meeting is so that you can get as much information as you can up front. In our last call, we talked about why it's so important to get the details in your pricing so that you don't mess around and give somebody a quote and then you haven't included mileage or you haven't included materials or you end up being in the hole and something that you enjoy doing now becomes a chore and it becomes a task. So it's important to have these meetings up front so that you can get all the information that you need to give them an accurate quote. And remember, it's not selling if you're giving them a solution to what it is they need. This is why you cannot go into a meeting with a cookie-cutter program to offer a corporation, because you have to go in letting them know that you understand that their individual needs are different and they're unique, and what you're going to propose to them will be specific to their company. Even if you use some of the same things that you've used in another company, they need to know that it is unique and it's specific to them. So you go in with your form prepared, with your form in your hand. I usually take mine in my portfolio, and I ask them if it's permitted. I ask for permission to take notes so that I can make sure that I don't forget anything and give them all the things that they need. So that's what I do with the discovery meeting. So whenever you're talking to somebody, people love to say, just tell me how much it's going to cost. Well, you can't tell them how much it's going to cost until you have this meeting. You can call it different things. I just call it a discovery meeting because it's where I discover what their needs are. It's where I discover what their budget is. It's where I discover exactly where they're going. I want them to paint a picture for me. I want them to give me their vision for this leadership training. Now, for me, I'm asking questions because I'm doing a leadership training, but you may be an event planner. You may be a caterer. Even if you are coming in to do a keynote speech, I still think that you should pick up the telephone, if you can't meet them in person, and have this meeting over the telephone, because you need to know what their vision is. There's nothing worse than somebody hiring you to come in to speak at their event and you talking about something totally different than what their theme is and what they brought you in to do. So these meetings are important. So at the very beginning, it's my discovery worksheet is 2 pages, and I have it in spreadsheet form. For those of you that's on the call, again, that's in the Inner Circle Network, I will post a Word version of my form in the Inner Circle Network so that you'll have access to it, and you can just change it to fit the area of business that you serve. So at the top, it says, my goal is to deliver a quality training that meets the specific needs of your organization. Please complete the information below and return it at least 72 hours before the event. I look forward to working with you and with your team. I'll never send this form out. That's written there just in case somebody, like when I get ready to travel and I have to go to another state and we can't have the meeting and we can't get the call, or if the secretary or the assistant say, hey, just send it to me and I'll get it, I'll do that. But so far, I've handled these meetings myself. I have not sent my form out. I ask the questions because that way I can explain why I need it. So the first thing at the top is the name of the business, my contact name, my contact email, contact telephone number, and the website. It's important to get that information so you know who it is that you need to be communicating with. Just because, for instance, if it's a wedding, you need another contact person, somebody else that you can talk to, because the bride and groom may be tied up. Now, the bride may handle most of that stuff up to the day of the event. But if you're doing something on the day of, you still need a contact person. Who is going to be your contact person? All right, so the background. I ask these questions because I'm a trainer. So I ask, What type of trainers have you used before, and what topics have they covered? In the past, when you made an investment in your team, what worked and what didn't work? How did the previous trainer engage your team? What did you like or dislike about their performance? And I tell them, don't you don't have to tell me the names, just tell me what you liked and disliked. And that's so important, because if it was a certain topic or something that they talked about that they did not want discussed, you need to know that so that you don't repeat the same thing, so that you can have repeat business. Are there any sensitive issues that I need to be aware of or topics that should be avoided? What are the current problems or issues that your organization is currently facing? If you're going in to do training, this is a key question. What are your current problems and issues that your organization is currently facing that can be addressed with training? It's important, because when you get ready to put together your proposal, these are your objectives. If they say, we have high turnover, lack of communication, and my group just won't work as a team. Well, if they tell you this, when you put together your proposal, there should be a section for objectives. And your objectives are to reduce turnover, to increase communication, and to bring the team together, to increase teamwork, to build a network within the team. You don't have to sell them anything, because you're providing them a solution to a problem that they told you. This is why it's so important to listen more than you talk in these meetings. If you've gotten to the place where they've allowed you to have a meeting, you don't have to sell yourself because you're there. And I don't mean go in there and be lazy. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, you don't want to one-up the client, as me and somebody else were talking about earlier today. If they share something with you, you don't have to share a better story. You just listen, smile, and ask questions. And if they ask you a question back, for instance, I did have another manufacturing company ask me, the vice president said, how have you helped the other company that's similar to ours? So I was able to say, we've been working on team building and communication, and we use the following curriculum to do that, and these are our results. And then I went right back into the next question. I made sure I let her ask me questions, but I didn't elaborate on it too much unless she wanted me to. Ask them, what are the current successes and breakthroughs within the organization? You need to know what areas they've overcome. If they say none, then you got a lot of work to do. Now let's look at some questions. Another question is, what would make this a successful training? What would make this a successful training? You want them to answer that question, because that's their vision. If they said, you can come in here and my leaders that are normally competing with each other begin to work together, they begin to communicate, they begin to work on projects together, guess what? Now you got some more pieces to your proposal. You, not only will they communicate, but you want them to be able to work on projects together. You see what I'm saying? They are giving you the answers to your program. You put together a program specifically for them. Now let's flip this. If you are a caterer, those are some of the questions that you could ask. Have you used caterers? Have you used the caterer before? What did you like or dislike about them? What is your vision for this event? Do you need servers? How many servers do you need? Is this a buffet? Will they go through the line themselves and you just need servers to fill drinks? Or would you like a plated meal? Because if they want a plated meal, then you need a lot more servers than you would just to refill drinks. Those are key questions that you have to ask. So make sure that section about those questions, you ask them specific to your industry so that you know how to prepare your proposal on the back end. Ask them about the attire. You know, if you're in the catering industry, is this going to be an open kitchen? Will our area be closed off? You know, do you want what is your attire? I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more tacky then going to a formal event and then the caterer show up in dirty aprons. Don't do that. If it's a formal event, your people should be dressed nice. You should have some slacks, a button up, whatever. But you make it work where it is a representation of your business. It is a brand. Those servers are part of your brand in that company. Okay, my next section is the audience. So I ask for the total number of attendants. I ask for total number of males, total number of females, the major responsibility of those in attendance, and how many hold leadership positions, because I need to know the balance and the mix of the company. It shows me what type of diversity it is in the company. It tells me if it's male-dominated. It tells me if it's balanced. It tells me if I'm going to be dealing with a group full of leaders, but if only one person in there is the supervisor and everybody else is that person's subordinate, they're probably not going to do too much talking with their boss in the room. But I need to know the dynamics because it helps me as the presenter to be. So you do need the audience, and I'll go back to catering. If you are catering, you need your numbers. That's how you charge. You charge per head. I charge per person in my events. You need to know the total number of attendees. You need to know if there's a head table. You need to know if everybody's doing buffet or if the head table is doing buffet. So do you need to have somebody assigned or do they have somebody assigned in that area? So you got to think creatively. It's not enough for me to just share with you what's on my sheet. You got to be creative and think about what are those questions that you need answered before you get to this event, before you give them a quote. I say you get these questions answered before you give them a quote because it determines who you got to take with you. It determines your quantity. It determines your team. It determines a lot of things. All right, and then on my sheet, the next section, it says choose the type of training. If you want me to come in and do a keynote speech, it has three choices to choose from. Is it a 30-minute, is it 60-minute, or is it 90 minutes or more? The price is different. If you need me to come and speak for 30 minutes, that's different. But if you need me to come and present for an hour and a half, the price for an hour and a half and the price for 30 minutes is totally different. If you need me to do a workshop, I need to know how long the workshop is. I need to know how many participants are in that workshop. I need to know if you have your own power projector and screen or if I have to bring my tools. I need to know the number of participants because I like to hand out worksheets. Sometimes I like to give object lessons. And so I need to know the number of people so all of these things can be included, again, in my proposal. So the type of training, if you're doing catering, you want to know If you're cleaning up afterwards? Do they need servers? Do they want you to just drop off the food? You know, me preparing the food and dropping it off is different from me preparing the food, having servers, and doing a plated meal. You see, it's such a wide range. And I'll say this again right here. Don't ever try to be the cheapest. You don't want your brand to be that you're the cheapest in the industry. You don't want people to choose you just because they don't have money. You want people to choose you because you offer a quality service. You want them to choose you because when you come, they don't have to worry about anything. You're going to get the job done because you're thorough and because you're prepared. Because if you forget to ask the right questions, now you're scrambling and you're not prepared, and it makes your company look bad. So that was choosing the type of training. So you put, under choose the type of training, you put the types of services that you offer so they can choose which one of those they need. And then my last section is method of delivery. Let me get back to method of delivery on this laptop. Method of delivery, do you want on-site training? If you want on-site, it says physical address. Why do I need the physical address? Because I need to enter it in the MapQuest and see how many round-trip miles it is because I charge so much per mile. So, for instance, if I got to go and do a training and it's 30 miles away and they want me to come for 6 weeks, well, it's 60 miles times 6, so that's 360 miles, right? 60 miles for one trip, and I got to go for 6 weeks. Yep, that's 360 miles that I have to put in my formula. So in addition to the time for training, in addition to the cost for materials, because if I'm doing workbooks and books, all that's figured into my fee, so that's why I needed to know how many people would be there. In addition to all those things, I also include 360 miles worth of travel. And I don't do a big list, you know, so people can just kind of choose what they want. When they get a proposal from me, it's all inclusive. So I'm going to tell you, like my coach told me, be the easiest person that they've ever worked with. When I go out the chicken of the sea, the only thing I need help with is getting in. I have to get through security. And when security escort me to our room. We do the training in the same room all the time. The first time I watched her, when she turned on that computer and the projector, they got this really fancy thing in the ceiling. But after that first time, I just wave and say, "I'm here. Hey, ladies, I'm here." Excuse me. I go in. My husband sets up the room. He puts any handouts and things like that on the table, and I'm setting up the computer and the projector. I put my flashlight in. They don't have to do anything. When it's over, we clean up. We set the tables, and we rearrange everything back just the way it was. We are very easy to work with. You always want to be easy to work with. But the only way you can do that is if you prepare in advance. So on-site training, you need to know if that's what you're doing, if somebody's picking something up, you don't have to worry about travel. But even if I wasn't serving and I was a caterer and I was dropping it off, I still have to do mileage. Is it a virtual training? If it's a virtual training, my price is a little different because there is no travel involved. Or is it a combination of virtual and on-site? Number of sessions requested, and this is the key, estimated budget is known. I had somebody tell me, I don't know what our budget is. So I went back to my coach, and I said, well, she said she doesn't know what the budget is. She said, well, then, is she saying that it can range anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000? Or is she saying that her budget runs up to $5,000 or from $5,000 to $25,000? From 30,000 to 50 or from 50 to 100. And so I sent her an email with that breakdown. And then she checked the box that I had to give her some ranges because she didn't know what to give me that answer. She didn't know what to tell me. So I followed up. I said, this is my tentative proposal. I'm working on it. Here are some objectives. If you see anything here in these objectives that don't fit your needs, let me know. However, I'm stuck on one area. I need your budget. I'm not sure if you are open to whatever I propose, up to $100,000, or if you like this range, up to $5,000, up to $25,000, so on and so forth. And then she chose what fit the range that fit her budget. So sometimes people need help with the budget piece, and you can help them by giving them some ranges. But you notice my range for corporate started at $5,000. So you got to know where your range will start. So that's the discovery meeting. That's my discovery meeting worksheet in a nutshell. This is really step one. Before you can give anybody a quote, you need to know where, you need to know what it is, you need to know the vision, you need to know who your contact is, because you definitely want to be talking to a decision maker. You don't want to be talking to the secretary of the secretary of the secretary. You know, then it's got to go through four or five people before you can even get an answer. And sometimes people just fishing, they're not serious. So you have to make sure that you do understand that every person is not your client and be okay with that. Do not, because let me give you a secret. I'm going to give you this secret. Instead of giving discounts, give bonuses. So instead of saying, if you sign this contract by this date, you can get it for 10% off, why not give them something else? Why not give them a bonus? For instance, one of the bonuses I give is autographed books by John C. Maxwell, because I'm teaching his curriculum. So typically if they pay all at once, for instance, a bonus would be the leadership game. I charge $750 for the leadership game, and I put that the value out beside it. So I'll give them that complimentary. If they pay it quarterly instead of monthly, I'll give them 10 autographed books, and the value of those books are $20 each, so it's a $200 value. So in the catering industry, maybe you can give them something complimentary, and you know what that would be, something that don't cost you a lot. Maybe, you know, we'll provide two service complimentary if you do such and such, such, such. You know, I said such and such, I'm sorry. But you got to fill in the blank with what works for you. And there's one other thing that's not on here. I'm going to pull up my proposal and make sure that I'm going to look at the proposal itself and make sure that I'm not forgetting anything, because I do realize that you have to have, this is something I learned real early. I sent somebody a quote and they never got back with me. So I was on the line with my coach and I said, I sent them the quote and they never got back with me. And he said, well, what was the expiration date? I said, well, I ain't getting one. He said, well, that's why you didn't hear back from them. So make sure when you give somebody a proposal, you give somebody a quote, put an end date on it. Mine never go beyond 2 weeks. They have 2 weeks to make a decision. Because once we have that discovery meeting, and so that's my time and that's free. Then I come back and I put together a proposal. That takes time because I got to look up objectives, and I have to look up, let me see this other word. I want to share with you exactly the words that I use in my proposal. There's an introduction where I introduce myself. Then we do objectives, and then we do measures of success. And the measures of success is how they know that the objectives have been met. And then we look at options. Typically, I'll give them three options, with the middle option being the one they really wanted. Except this last time, because I had one client who knew exactly what she wanted. She was no nonsense. I love working with her. I love working with people like that. So I didn't give her three options. She wasn't a great kind of lady. She knew exactly what she wanted. She knew exactly how long she wanted him. She knew exactly who she didn't like. And she openly shared with me why she didn't choose some people before I got there. And so I didn't give her three options because she knew what she wanted. So I told her, this is exactly what you told me you wanted, and this is what it would cost. If you would like to modify it in any way, I'm open to do that, and we left it at that. But make sure you have a section in there for timing. This one says, I'm available to begin working with you and your staff the month of September. This proposal is good through August 31st, 2016. I always give them 2 weeks. I don't go much longer than that. If they want to work with me after that time frame, I'm willing to present them with another proposal. But 2017, my rates change. So those that lock in their contracts for 2017 this year, they get my 2016 rate. And so that's an incentive for them to go ahead. Because another thing, when I talk to somebody about training, they've already kind of told me what days of the week they need me to be there. Well, I can't just hold that time open indefinitely. I have to go on with the next client that's ready to pay me. See, it's a difference between somebody needing your services and somebody being ready for your services. They all need it, but they were not ready, whether it was funding, whether the manager over them wouldn't approve it, whatever it was, they wasn't ready. So I needed to open those days up, that availability up for another potential client. If you are doing catering and things of that nature, do not do anything until they're giving you a deposit. When they return my proposal, it has to be accompanied with the payment. It has to be accompanied with the payment. And if it's a big amount of money, most of the time it's still about 10%. They have to give it to me, and then in here it's outlined how they can pay. I always give them three. They can do monthly, quarterly, or all in one, all at once. It's how they can pay. There is no gray areas. It says all options include books and workbooks, all printed materials for attendees, completion certificates, instructor's time and travel. Does not include cost of venue, food, beverages, or any outside expenses. I don't, I cut out any questions. I answer every question that they could have within this proposal. And when they sign it, they choose option one, option two, option three. They sign it, I sign it, and it's accompanied with a check. And so when I get this in my hand, I know exactly how they're going to pay me, and they know exactly what's expected of me and of them. So we take all the guesswork out of it. So the purpose, again, of your discovery meeting is for you to be able to complete a professional proposal, not just an email, not just an inbox message, not just a text message, but a professional proposal. And then, again, make sure you put that end date on there because your availability may change and your rates may change. And if that happens, you don't want somebody to come with a proposal that's a year old and say, well, this is what you told me. It don't have no end date on it. And then you find yourself, do I honor that agreement? Because an unhappy client in this world now will share your stuff all over social media and can really give your business a black eye. So you make sure that you dot all your I's and cross all your T's because this is your brand. And many of us are entrepreneurs, operate with one person building in the building phase of our business. So our brand is very important. And it's not what you think it is, it's what the other people think it is. So if people think that you are cheap, then you may have the reputation of just being cheap with cheap products and cheap services. So they'll call you when they only have cheap money. Or is it that you're the best, and I don't care what you charge, I'm going to pay it. I have a cosmetologist that I don't care what she charges, I'm going to pay it. Because not only does she make my hair look well, good, she takes care of my scalp. And I have a lot of people that don't agree with me paying her, but it's my head. And her services are quality. And I pay her what she asks, and I don't ask for a discount. As a matter of fact, I tip her because when I call her, I want her to come in just for me. Same thing with the lady at the nail shop. You know, so you want to have that type of relationship with your clients when they call you that they're not haggling with you about your prices because they know you're going to come, you're going to get the job done, and you're going to take the stress off of them. So I want to thank you for tuning into this call. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to stop the recording, and then we'll do any questions and we'll do any questions or any other points that you want to add.